talk to you about the mineralogy of polygenetic soils, but one note on the title. If I refer to these blue stem hills of East Central Kansas as the Flint Hills, don't worry, they're one and the same. So, I'd first like to familiarize you with the Flint Hills region and their soils. The Flint Hills region is a topographic region located in East Central Kansas. It has a rolling landscape. These hilltop positions shown in the picture are what I refer to as the summit positions, and they're the most stable landscape position in these Flint Hills. The soils of the Flint Hills, particularly the upland soils of the Flint Hills, are formed in three parent materials. Loess, in the upper portion of the profile, is windblown sediment, with colluvium below that being sediment that has moved downslope through gravity, and residuum being in the bottom of the profile, originating from the bedrock. This here is shows some weathered shale in the bottom. The loess parent material is important to the why these soils are thought to be polygenetic, and polygenetic meaning that the material has multiple origins. During the Pleistocene, the climate fluctuated between glacial and interglacial periods. During these glacial periods, wind erosion would occur and loess would be deposited onto the landscape. As the climate fluctuated back to a warmer climate, a soil would form. At this point, this soil was not a paleosol. This soil, because a paleosol is defined as a soil formed on the landscape of the past. So as the climate fluctuated back to a glacial climate and more or less became deposited on top of this soil, it became buried, and then it can be called a paleosol. So this process continued with soil formation, deposition, until the point we're at today with the current soil surface. Now, if you were describing these type of soils in the field, you might expect to find buried A horizons like this, where these ancient soils have been buried by more loss over top and isolated from increased weathering. But you often find soil profiles that look more like this with well-developed B horizons. So this suggests that these ancient soils and the A horizons to them have either been eroded off before the next depositional period, and then, or the soil has become welded or mixed. My primary objective of my study was to determine how the types and abundances of the clay minerals varied with a change in the parent material. A secondary objective was to relate my results to how and when the soil was deposited and developed. So the soil I chose was located on the eastern side of the Flint Hills. It was located on one of these stable summit positions in the Cottonwood River watershed. The red highlighted horizons here are the horizons which I selected for mineralogy work. And as you can see, I've selected one from the top parent material, the second parent material, indicated by the two, and the third parent material. And you can see their relative depth. As a side note, I grew up right here, about 3 miles south of the study site. So this study was very interesting for me, especially. There was an extensive amount of sample preparation before we could X-ray these samples. Organic matter and carbonates had to be removed. The soil samples were totally dispersed. The sand, silt, and clay fractions had to be separated, and I was mostly interested in the clay fraction, or the mineralogy of the clay fraction. So this clay fraction was frozen and placed in a freeze dryer, and then I was able to prepare my slides for X-ray diffraction. The X-ray diffraction result looks something like this, with intensity on the y-axis and the scanning angle on the x-axis. Each mineral produces a number of peaks, and sometimes these peaks can overlap. As you can see in the magnesium 25 treatment, they overlap. So we had to treat this with ethylene glycol to get these peaks to separate. So the smectite's now at 17 angstroms and vermiculite at 14 angstroms. Also, based on these graphs, we were able to estimate the relative abundance of each mineral, and we based that off of the intensity of the peaks. These are those estimated abundances. Key thing I'd like to point out is the upper horizon, or upper parent material, is dominated by smectite, while the lower two parent materials exhibit a more mixed mineralogy. The lower two parent materials also show vermiculite. I said we separated the sand, silt, and clay fraction. This graph shows the percent sand, silt, and clay with depth in the profile. I'd like to point out the total clay percentage in the red and how it is bimodal, or has two peaks with depth. This is characteristic of a buried soil. Now that I had my results, I asked myself the question, is this mineralogy inherent to the parent material as it was deposited, or has it been altered through weathering of the clay minerals? Evidence I found for inheritance was in the bottom two parent materials. They had a mixed mineralogy. Also, again, the vermiculite. Smectite decreased with depth, and the bimodal clay content, and of course it was on a stable landscape position. Here is evidence of alteration, mostly in the upper parent material. The dominance of smectite. There was no vermiculite present in the upper parent material. And this soil does exhibit strong development. The second question I asked myself was, if this upper parent material is less, what less is this? So this table illustrates the four less units that are identified within the Great Plains region. However, the Big Nell is not found, or has not been found, in eastern Kansas, so I further narrowed it down to these three forests. And then I started thinking about where this parent material, where this losses came from. And so I wanted to include this figure, where the arrows illustrate the dominant wind direction during these glacial periods. So that kind of just generally gives you an idea of where this material could have originated from. And I'll just leave it at that, since source studies for less is a whole other project. In conclusion, the modern soil was dominated by smectite, while the lower two paleosols exhibited a more mixed mineralogy. This leads me to think that the mineralogy of the soil is both inherent to the parent material and has been altered through weathering of the clay minerals. And these are a few of the people who helped me. Thank you. Questions? Yes. The question was why there were two spikes in clay percentage when I had several BT horizons. And to have a BT horizon, you don't necessarily need to have a peak in the clay percentage. You need just evidence of movement of clay and accumulation of clay lower in the profile. Does that answer the question? Yes, sir.
What
The question was, how did I calculate the or estimate the abundances of minerals? And this is really, if you'll notice, I had the title semi-quantitative, and it really is. It's based off the intensity of the peaks and how tall they are, basically. And the percentages add up to 100 for all the minerals. And so the intensity is in units of counts, and so I basically divided the counts of a peak by the total number of counts for each of the minerals summed up, and then rounded for significant figures. Yes, sir. These samples were analyzed for total carbon, but I did not include those in this study. That would be interesting to look at. I've looked at the total carbon, but there wasn't really anything to tell me that there was a change in parent material. Yes, sir. So the question was, the paleosols are of course older, and you would think they would experience more weathering, but the vermiculite is key in this, and that vermiculite is an unstable mineral, and so if the soil had been exposed to a lot of weathering, I would believe that the vermiculite would have been weathered out, and so that's why I came to the conclusion that it is more inherent to the parent material in the lower two parent horizons. Yes, sir? The question was, my samples were on a summit position, a relatively stable landscape position, and whether the paleosols were also on this stable landscape position. Because the paleosols are on a landscape of the past, they could have been at a different landscape position, but because these are the most stable landscape position in the Flint Hills, I assume that the paleosols were also a part of the summit position. All right, thank you.